the patron on the 104.3.
That's right. Excuse me.
It's the next Masters couple days. Week.
It's Masters week. We are not 104.3 the fan. We are 104.3 the patron. Because at the Masters, they are not fans.
Oh yeah.
And you gotta say it.
Yeah.
All right. This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. This is 104.3 the patron.
104.3. You're listening to 104.3 the patron.
You're right.
Yeah.
Can't call them fans. They are not fans at the Masters. They are patrons. Mm-hmm. On the RamosLaw.com text line, Evans doesn't know nothing about drafting quarterbacks. He already said that, so shut up. Did Andy Reid trade back or trade up to get Patrick? Or did he say, no, let's wait and trade back and wait for the second or third round to evaluate NFL quarterbacks coming out of college? Texter, neither do you. And neither do most
NFL teams.
NFL teams. So we're all in good company here, including you, Texter. As far as Andy Reid, and this is why I stand with Sean and why having Sean Payton here at this most critical juncture of Broncos history is so important.
I believe in Sean Payton.
I do too. Because Andy Reid coached Brett Favre. And so once you have coached for a long time and you've had success with a quarterback, you see those traits and you possibly see them in somebody else. And guess what? Suddenly, that really hard job of evaluating quarterbacks isn't so hard for you because you know the model. You see the traits. You see the characteristics. And that's what Andy Reid saw in Patrick Mahomes. What I'm hoping, and this is why having Sean here is so important, Sean was with Drew Brees all those years. Now, you can argue all you want about who deserves the credit. Was it Drew Brees for the Saints' success, or was it Sean Payton for the Saints' success? It doesn't matter. You can argue that all day long if you want. But what does matter is that Sean was there lockstep all those years with Drew. So he knows what he knows. He knows what it looks like. And so the good news about this critical juncture of where the Broncos are is that you've got a guy in Sean Payton who should be able to look at these guys and say, okay, there's my next Drew Brees. And if he sees that in a guy, he should move heaven and earth to go get that guy. And if he doesn't see that in any of these guys, he should say thank you. I'll pass, and I'll just continue to build up my football team.
So taking it back to the 2017 draft, when Patrick Mahomes was taken 10th overall, there was a team drafting, I believe, 12th. And the inside intel said that that team was going to take Patrick Mahomes. And therefore, Andy Reid got that intel, I'm not exactly sure, and moved up to 10 ahead of that team to grab him. Do you know who the team at 12 was going to take him?
The Saints.
Sean Payton and the Saints, yep, who had Drew Brees. They wanted Mahomes. So, yeah, Mahomes had that kind of buzz pre-draft. And, you know, ultimately, I think the thing that Mahomes probably doesn't get credit for, because you see the spectacular, the guy is unbelievable in the pocket, manipulating coverage, unbelievably accurate, off platform, in a dirty pocket. He does a great job with that stuff. And so I don't think probably enough people understand how good he is from the pocket, because he makes, and when things break down, he makes exceptional plays. But listen, he wants to beat you, and he does beat you for the most part just sitting in the pocket.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So it comes down to if he loves Bo Nix, take him at 12.
Yeah.
If he's sitting there, take him. Now, I would prefer if the draft speculation about Nix is correct, that this is a guy who could easily drop into the second round, I would hope that the Broncos would be able to you know, move through the draft board and manipulate the draft and make some deals to accumulate more picks, but that'd be my dream. Merrill Hodge, we had on, said it would be much better for Bo Nix to be drafted in the second round.
Correct.
Because he says you get drafted in the first round, immediately people have visions of stardom right away.
Right.
That this guy, and what did he say? He said to us, we'll replay some more of what Hodge had to say. One man's opinion, but you know, this is somebody who's been doing it for a long time, played the game, has had a lot of success, who said that there is the two quarterbacks that he has seen come out that were the most, you know, pro ready and made the best transition to the pros in the last 5-6 years was Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud. And he said, there's no Joe Burrow or C.J. Stroud in this draft.
Correct.
Not even close.
You know,
he said Bo Nix is, you know, should be taken in the second or third round.
What's interesting about C.J. Stroud is, and Merrill pointed it out, in his scouting, he said his scouting meeting, I believe he's still scouting for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He does some side work for the Steelers. And sitting in one of those meetings saying that, you know, one evaluator going, well, you know, the guy didn't have a good Wunderlich test. And she's like, who gives a rip? Like, that means nothing. And you watch his decision-making process. You watch him work through progressions. You watch what he did at Ohio State. And he had elite-level processing. And he does. He's an elite-level processor. And, like, I don't know what the kid in Carolina is going to become, Bryce Young. But it's not even, at this point in their careers, Mike, it's not close. I mean, it is not close between the two of them. So, and again, it goes back to your point. You don't know, I don't know, they don't know. Nobody knows.
Got this text on the RamosLaw.com text line. You pansies are just too afraid to draft someone. That's why the Broncos haven't won a playoff game with someone they drafted other than Tim Tebow. See, your first line gave you away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just draft anybody that plays quarterback, and then we're going to be okay.
Right.
That's your thought process. And you want to, you know what?
You're too afraid to draft someone. No, I'm not.
I would say the other thing is you're too enthused to draft anyone. You know, it doesn't matter who they draft. You know what you're going to do? Celebrate. If they draft Michael Penix at 12, Bo Nix at 12, Drake May at 12, or if they move up to get any one of these guys, you are going to be doing backflips because you think that's all they need. And Haji brings up a good point in our interview was, dude, it's a process, man, and it takes time.
One of the reasons why the NFL is so popular is the most popular sport is that anybody who watches the game, it doesn't take a lot of football know-how to understand what's happening in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people feel like they know football. And it's why football is so popular. Whenever you say the Broncos just have to draft a quarterback, you are showing that you don't know what it takes to evaluate a quarterback. And you know what? I'm not condemning you for that.
Right.
I don't know what it takes to properly evaluate a quarterback. Most of the NFL doesn't know how to evaluate a quarterback coming out of college. But the problem is that when you say just draft a quarterback, just draft somebody, you are immediately identifying yourself as somebody who doesn't know what to look for when it comes to these quarterbacks. So your idea is just throw a dart, draft one, and hope you get lucky. And that,
right.
I'm sorry, you can't, that can't be the way that you make such a crucial decision. It's why you got to make sure as a franchise, you have people in place who are making these decisions who at least give you in something that is such an inexact science, and that's what this is, Sean Payton isn't guaranteed to be able to find the next quarterback for the Denver Broncos. But you know what? with his track record and his experience and working with all those years with a guy like Drew Brees, he's probably ahead of the curve compared to most people. And that's why you have a guy like that here.
Here, this comes off the RomosLaw.com text line, but it is a prevailing kind of thought. And it's interesting to me. And so I want to present it to you. So the texter says, if you draft Bo Nix in the second round, then he becomes Drew Lock. If Drew Lock was drafted in the first round, he would be a top quarterback right now. And I think there's a lot of people that think that way. Like, if you just draft him in the first round, then he would be, because you'd give him more opportunity.
That's why he would speak it into existence.
Yeah, and he would have figured it out. But I think there's a lot of people that believe in that. And it gets perpetuated by, you know, when Scrappy Will Peterson and the like write articles about, see, in the divisional round, 7 of the 8 quarterbacks were first rounders. You got to get one of the first. Like, that is, it's just a faulty premise. One, 80% of the quarterbacks are drafted in the first round, overdrafted in the first round. Let's talk about all the first round quarterbacks who didn't get their teams.
Yeah,
to the
when you flash that statistic, I'm sure the people in Miami, New York, New England, let's see, who else? Jacksonville, Los Angeles, the Chargers. All those teams with first round quarterbacks are like, well, why didn't our guy get us there?
Right.
If you have to have one of these guys, why didn't my guy get us there?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, Miami and Buffalo went, right? But New England, the Jets,
you know, Chicago,
Chargers,
Carolina,
right?
You know, all these teams that,
Pittsburgh, with
tiny hands.
Right.
All these teams that drafted first-round quarterbacks and were at home watching the playoffs on the couch with you and me.
Indianapolis.
What did their first-round quarterbacks do for them? So, yeah, it's you're playing fast and loose with that. Well, 7 out of the 8 were first-round trade. Well, okay, I can easily point to like 10 or 12 other first-round quarterbacks who missed the playoffs. So what's your point?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
right, if everybody's you know what? If everybody who is a starting quarterback in the league is a first round draft choice, the odds are that in the divisional round, most of the guys who get to the playoffs are going to be first round draft choices. How many teams are playing in the NFL right now without a first round draft choice at quarterback?
Wait a minute, what's the question again? Hold on.
How many teams in the NFL right now are playing with a player that was not a first-round quarterback?
Oh, as their guy? This past season.
Buffalo first-rounder, Miami first-rounder, the Jets first-rounder, New England first-rounder.
Yep.
Everybody. Kansas City first-rounder to Vegas, no, because...
Right.
Well, who do they have this year?
Jimmy G to start the season.
Jimmy G, right. So, no. Denver, no. Chargers, yes. So, right now in the AFC, we've got 4, 5, 6. Baltimore, yes. Cleveland, yes, to start. Yep. Pittsburgh, yes. Cincinnati, yes. So that's 10. Houston, yes. Jacksonville, yes. Indy, yes. And Tennessee started with Ryan Tannehill. So, yes. So in the AFC, out of the 16 teams in the AFC, only 2 went into the season without a first-round quarterback starting. Okay? NFC, Dallas, no. Philly, no. New York Giants, yes. Washington,
no.
Who started the...
Howell,
yes, right. All right. San Francisco, no. Rams, yes. Seattle, no. Arizona, yes. Detroit, yes. Green Bay, yes. Minnesota,
no.
Chicago, yes. And then Tampa, yes. New Orleans, no, because they had Carr, who was the second rounder. Atlanta, no. And Carolina, yes. So... almost probably 60-40 in the NFC. But, you know, we talk about the NFC being kind of a weaker conference from that standpoint. So, I mean, come on. Of the 16 quarterbacks in the AFC, 14 of them were drafted in the first round. I should hope that most of the quarterbacks that represent the playoff teams, because most of the quarterbacks are first-round picks. So, that, I mean, it's just faulty.
You guys always act like there aren't busts at other positions as well. First round bust on a defensive end is just as damaging as a bust quarterback. No, it isn't.
No, it's not.
Not even close. Because I'm getting a few other these other texts. You know, hey, at some point, you just got to roll the dice. You know what? If teams actually followed up on that roll the dice mentality, I could buy into the idea of rolling the dice. But the problem is teams roll the dice and then they get super cautious and conservative and kick the can down the road with a guy that we all know can't play. So what happened to that aggressive mentality, New York Giants? Daniel Jones can't play.
Arizona Cardinals.
Kyler Murray isn't the answer. But you see these franchises, Justin Fields, not the answer. But you see these franchises who you applaud for taking a chance. You applaud them for their aggressiveness. You applaud them for their swing for the fences mentality. But then you don't blast them when they all of a sudden get super cautious and say, hey, one more year. One more year with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is the year.
Maybe just get him another receiver or just an offensive lineman. If we get him a good run game, we give him this.
Because if you're really, and that's the hypocrisy of the whole, hey, sometimes you got to swing for the fences. Well, it's so easy to say that, but live it. Let me see. The only team that has truly lived it was your guy, Steve Keim, there in Arizona, who decided after 1 year, Josh Rosen couldn't play and went out and drafted Kyler Murray. Okay, I'd like to see more teams do that because there are plenty of teams right now that are in position where they should swing for the fences again because they're not sure they have the right guy. Are you convinced? If you're a Miami Dolphin fan, you convinced you got the right guy in Tua? No. Nope. Baltimore, are you convinced you got the guy in Lamar Jackson? Not if you continue to watch him spit the bit in the playoffs. Cleveland, you sure you got the right guy in Deshaun Watson? Jacksonville, you sure you got the right guy in Trevor Lawrence? Chargers, you sure you got the right guy in Justin Herbert? What happened to that swing for the fence mentality? Why does it get replaced by mind-numbing patience and almost a fearfulness to swing for the fences again?
Right, especially after you decide to pay the guy. You know, when Steve Keim told me, former general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, he's just like, listen, I knew Rosen wasn't the answer, and I went after Murray. And he goes, and as a matter of fact, when I was evaluating him, I didn't want to like him. I wanted to hate him. But he's quick. He's athletic. I understand he's not prototypical size. We got big-time arm. And he said, so we did it. And he goes, I knew that if it doesn't work out, I'm getting fired. But I was like, listen, man, I'm going to do it anyway. And consequences be damned. And, you know, he's not working right now because that and other things. But you know, I mean, at least he's got onions enough to do it.
But swing for the fence then. And stop worrying about, oh, if we bring in another quarterback, it's going to make the guy here look over his shoulder. Who cares? Like, Chicago got bailed out because of the way it worked out with getting Carolina's pick. But you know that if they didn't have Carolina's pick and they were still sitting, you know, in the top 10, they'd be like, oh, we'll let it ride with Fields for another year. No, they need to swing again. Arizona needs to swing again. The Giants need to swing again. These are all teams in the top six that cannot feel like they are set at quarterback, but they will. And that original swing for the fence mentality gets replaced with, well, now we got to preach patience. It's why the whole swing for the fence thing amuses me, and I think is a bunch of crock, because teams don't truly live it, and fan bases don't truly live it. Mm-hmm. It's funny because a lot of the same fans will be like, hey, you got to swing for the fence. You need a quarterback. Just draft a quarterback. We need one. And then all of a sudden, when it gets 2-3 years into that quarterback's run, and it just becomes painfully apparent that he's not the guy, those same fans are like, well, there's not enough around him yet.
Right.
Or he needs a better coach. You know, or just needs a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to that swing for the fence mentality that you had just a few years earlier? That's what bugs me about this whole process. Anyway, we move on. As we sit here 2 weeks away from the draft, do you have clarity? What does your crystal ball tell you?
You're a Sean whisperer.
My crystal ball.
What are they going to do?
They are going, I believe that they are going to trade back and accumulate picks. And I think not only are they going to pick a good football player as they trade back, but then I think they're going to get either, I think the guys that aren't being talked about very much are on the radar quarterback-wise. Second rounder, Michael Pratt.
Spencer Rattler.
Or Spencer Rattler. I think what they're doing with
or
all
if
these...
Or if they've read the situation right, because there are plenty of people out there who believe that Knicks and Penix will go in the second round.
Yeah.
Maybe that's their read of it, and maybe they'll...
Yeah, that could be it, too. But that's my... That's what my gut says.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I hope that Sean sees a quarterback that he's fallen in love with. I hope that happens. My only fear is that he settles. I don't think he will. He doesn't strike me as that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's the kind of guy that's just going to settle picking that high. I want him to fall in love with somebody. But if he doesn't, man, I hope he's one of those guys that is not going to fall in line with the herd and just take one because he feels like he needs to take one. I would love to see him have the guts, the onions to say, hey, I'm Sean freaking Payton. I can make more with less at the quarterback position. I'm not going to overextend to pick a guy that I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, I'll take a stud at 12, and I'll find a guy in the second and third round that I can turn into a star. Or I'll trade back and eventually get that quarterback I can turn into a star, and I'll get more valuable draft capital. On the RamosLaw.com text line, Spencer Rattler tape looks a lot like Drew Brees to me. That's AJ in Arvada.
Glad
AJ's studying the tape.
He's looking at the tape. Yeah.
What is your reaction when somebody texts in and says, Mark, I've been looking at the film.
Yeah.
And I like this guy.
Well, usually, you know, I roll my eyes a little bit because YouTube clips are not the film. But, you know, you do have, I don't know about college tape. How many people actually in America have access to college tape? So you can get game highlights and stuff, or you can get the games. But how much do you really have from a college tape standpoint?
You have got to have the game tape. One of the benefits of you having the Exos Thundercloud and all the game film you've watched me, it is so different.
Right.
Than what now, you watch on TV. I can't, just as a football fan myself, I can't believe the difference between just watching TV tape versus
and
film copy.
You can get the coach's tape in the NFL off of NFL.com. It usually comes in a couple days, you know, like Wednesday or Thursday, I think, after the game. They will load the coach's film up. So there's people that can look at coach's film on NFL.com a couple days after the game, 3 days after the game or so. There are some people that can look at that if they want to subscribe to that and buy that package.
By the way, for that person who said Drew Locke would have been a star if he had been drafted in the first round instead of the second, can you imagine how much worse Paxton Lynch would have been if he didn't go in the first round? We don't smear him anymore.
Oh, yeah. Paxton, we don't smear.
Ah, Russell Wilson, Pittsburgh. Good luck with that, Steelers.
By the way, Russ, I don't know if you guys saw the video I sent you yesterday.
Yes.
Russ has some competition.
Now, who? That was Lenny Kravitz?
That was Lenny Kravitz. Now, I don't know. Well, it's Lenny Kravitz who's cool, so he can get away with this. Can you imagine if Russell Wilson was working out, no shirt and leather pants on?
No.
But does Lenny Kravitz wear anything other than leather pants?
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
He works out in leather pants.
He has leather pants on for everything.
He must have a lifetime supply of Gold Bond because the bat wings that are being created in leather pants.
You got to Google it. First of all, you
I've seen it.
Okay.
And he was wearing sunglasses.
He was wearing sunglasses too? See, Lenny Kravitz working out, no shirt, leather pants, and sunglasses looks cool.
On. Didn't he have a shirt on?
Yeah, he had like a mesh see-through, like yeah, he mesh always wear,
that's
purple.
That's the other part of his nonstop ensemble, his mesh shirts.
I had a mesh shirt in college once.
You guys all
mesh
did.
Mesh tank top.
Oh, you guys all did. Everyone
but
went,
you know my nipple
boss,
issue that I have.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, you're just walking around with the high beams out when you're in mesh with me.
The Bosworth look?
Yeah.
Great Irv Brown.
I could probably find a picture of me in a mesh tank top.
The great Irv Brown came in one day to do a show, and he had the half and half shirt. He had the half, top half was just T-shirt. The bottom half was mesh.
Oh.
I'm like, he walks in, I go, Irv.
What do you got
what
on?
What do you got on?
What did he say?
He's like, somebody gave it to me. I thought I'd wear it. It's free. I was like, that's Irv.
Yeah.
If it's free, it's for me. If it's free, give me three.
Yeah.
Are you a model?
Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff. Coming up next, we've got a lot more to get to, is Nathan MacKinnon on pace to go down as the Avs' GOAT. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
That's a good pull there, Rogue. I feel like I need to make a workout video. Like, that's the thing. Russ, Lenny Kravitz, everybody's making them.
Would you recommend that kind of a exercise at the gym, what Lenny Kravitz was doing? So he was like on an incline, like sit-up bench. And as he was doing sit-ups, he had like
a bar with
245-pound plates.
And they weren't 45-pound plates.
35-pound plates.
They weren't 35-pound
25-pound plates.
They were 10-pound plates.
They were not 10-pound plates.
I guarantee
they were
you
probably 10-pound plates.
Are you sure about that?
They make those lighter weights with big, like for social media.
Okay, they look bigger though, right? They look like 45-pound plates.
Yes, they're the same size.
All right,
they make them, the plates today, they're rubberized, and they make them all fit the same, so they all look the same.
Good social media play there by Lenny Kravitz's team, because I was convinced he was like, wow,
you could actually put together, like, you could do the 225 test, and you could use plates, turn them inside out so people can't see what the weights are, and you could make it look like you're doing 225 when you're really doing, like, 185 for reps.
Right.
They usually color them differently, but the 10-pound plates, the big 10-pound plates, are black, just like the 45-pound.
Would you recommend doing that kind of a work? Is that beneficial?
He's just doing core work, man. You got a big core. You got to keep his core tight. He wants it tight to wear them mesh shirts.
And he was wearing leather pants. Do you know how much Russell Wilson would be ridiculed if Russ did that? But Lenny Kravitz does it, and it's like, that's cool. Just goes to show. Some people just have it. Lenny Kravitz has it. Russell Wilson doesn't.
Lenny is just cool. No matter what Russ does, he's never going to be cool.
No.
He's always going to be a nerd.
Right. Some people just do it naturally.
Right.
Michael Jordan, natural.
Yeah.
Jeter, natural.
Schlereth. Natural. Some people are just cool.
Some people just are cool.
Just exude.
They can't help but be cool.
Just exude cool.
And others just try desperately too hard.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you have it.
Time to light the lamp, brought to you by Papa Murphy's. What a night for the Avalanche. What a night for Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm.
My goodness. You made, I think it's worth repeating, the comparison you made, Nathan MacKinnon skating last night.
Yeah.
What it reminded you of.
Reminds me of Tyreek Hill just running by elite level athletes, the best athletes in the world, that he runs by them like they're not even.
Yeah.
It's varsity versus JV players. That was when Nathan MacKinnon shot through the defense and just split it.
On more than one occasion.
Several occasions.
Yes.
It was a varsity skater versus JV skaters. It literally looked like they're the best skaters in the world.
Yes.
And he literally, it was like Tyreek Hill running by a DB. He made them look like JV players.
Yes. You are not supposed to do that.
Not to other NHL players.
No, you're not. There's not supposed to be that much of a gap in athleticism. Mm-mm. There just isn't.
No.
These guys are too good.
It's the kind of thing you see, Mike. It really is. It's the kind of thing you see in, like, Little League. You know how there's the one kid that can just roll? If he gets the ball outside, he's just gone.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It reminded me of that kind of scenario, or a high school. You get the one player that is just a full grown man in high school, and it was like Adrian Peterson. Darren Woodson once told me, like, Adrian Peterson came into the Cowboys locker room when Darren Woodson was playing for the Cowboys in high school, and you know they were going to play for the state championship or whatever, and Darren Woodson was like, That kid could have gone right to the NFL from high school. Like, he was put together that way. Like, it just is. There's some that are just gifted that way, but you're not supposed to be that much better than everybody else at the professional level.
In your 11th year. That's the thing about Nathan MacKinnon that maybe you forget. This is his 11th year in the NHL. His first year in the NHL was 2013.
Yeah.
And here he is, 11 years into an NHL career, looking faster than he's ever looked before.
That's how I am in the weight room. In the weight room, it just
okay,
is.
Okay, you keep it, doing this, you're going to lose your cool factor. But
no,
okay,
in the weight
ahead,
room.
Try it again.
Sometimes I'll just
stop
walk.
The cap.
I'll just walk up to people that are on a certain weights that I want to get on.
Uh-huh.
They've been on too long. And I'll just say, like, hey, when you're done dicking around, I'd like to use the equipment, you know? That little sissy way you got on there. That usually gets him moving, Johnny.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. Why don't you, next time you go work out, wear leather pants? See how that goes.
I don't have a pair of leather pants, but if I did, if I did have leather pants, I would do that.
I just, I look at MacKinnon and he's a marvel. And not that anybody out there takes Nathan MacKinnon for granted, but let me just say, don't take this guy for granted. I admire the fact that here he is into his second decade as an NHL player. He's a clear-cut superstar. Mm-hmm. He's won a Stanley Cup. He is comfortable. He's got a brand-new rich contract that has him as one of the highest paid players in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're seeing in this guy this year is another level that has been reached. And he looks faster than he's ever looked before.
Mm-hmm.
His playmaking, like on a night in which he has that hat trick and everybody's talking about the hat trick.
Right.
You know, what's so easy to forget is that beautiful dish.
Oh, that
to
was.
Arturi Lehkonen. For the goal.
That was.
If he hadn't done anything else last night, that dish, that assist would have been worthy of being talked about and celebrated this morning. But he goes on to have the hat trick, and you almost forget about that beautiful assist. In a season in which, yeah, he reaches the 50-goal plateau for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Dude's got 86 assists. His ascension as a playmaker this year, considering that last year he set a career high in assists with 69, he's got 86.
Right.
And again, the understanding and the willingness and the desire
to continue to expand his game. This deep into his career, not being satisfied, still hungry for more, still wanting to improve and putting in the work to do so. The guy has always been a sniper as a scorer. He's taken that right. to another level. But Mark, in the span of just 2 years, he's gone from being a guy who routinely was in the mid to high 50s for assists to 86 and growing.
It's just it's
amazing.
He's amazing. He really is. Last night was.
I just want to throw all the bouquets we can at this guy.
Last night was a thing of beauty, man. It was a thing of beauty. Like watching it, it was just shockingly impressive.
It was because he was making NHL players look foolish,
silly.
They looked like orange cones that were set up for a skating drill.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to do that.
No.
And if you are able to do it, that you're supposed to be some 20-year-old wunderkind who, you know, is the next can't-miss
right.
prospect that has, you know, rockets up their butts. And this guy's doing it 11 years into his career.
It's remarkable.
Papa Murphy's, home of a Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. As we roll on, we saw one of the great NHL sports prank wars go to another level. I'd like to know your history with great pranks. That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I love a great prank. Love a great prank. You know, I grew up with a group of guys. I still see them. Every summer,
mm-hmm.
we love busting each other's chops.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody takes it personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's who we are, and it's great. And I wouldn't trade for anything. You come from the same group of guys, right? I love a good prank. I love good humor. And I don't mind if it's at my expense. So the Minnesota game last night for the Avalanche saw a culmination or perhaps final end to the prank war between new Av, Brandon Duhaime, and Marc-Andre Fleury. So it started back when Duhaime was with Minnesota. And he kind of got it going where he was in the midst of an interview and he referred to Marc-Andre Fleury as being 50.
Mm-hmm.
Fleury responded by stealing Duhaime's clothes and substituting his shoes with white boots. And later, Duhaime replaced Marc-Andre Fleury's goaltender stick with a cane. And after Duhaime was traded to the Avalanche, when they returned to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, he covered Fleury's car with toilet paper to reignite the prank war. So Duhaime was getting his shots in.
Mm-hmm.
Marc-Andre Fleury was subscribing to that old adage that revenge is a dish best served cold. Because boy, did he respond. So Duhaime comes out after a practice, and there is his car on cinder blocks.
Mm-hmm.
All four tires have been removed and chained to a nearby wall. There is a big pile of dirt on his hood with spring flowers planted in them and a for sale sign on the windshield. That's next level stuff.
That's good.
That's next level stuff.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Do you see Duhaime come into the parking lot like the Asperger and goes, "Hey guys, I need a ride home.
I need a ride."
It was, and there's some note on there if you want your, because they've locked, you know, they locked the tires up. So yep. If you want your tires, you've got to issue an apology to Marc-Andre Fleury or
something. The for sale sign reads, "If you would like to know where the keys to the lock are and the tools to put the tires back on, send me an apology video." Yeah, because on top of the hood, along with the dirt and the spring flowers, were the lug nuts and the wrenches and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
That is good.
I love you see this a lot in the NBA, the car filled with popcorn.
Yes.
That happened to Kenyon Martin one time. Somebody did to Kenyon Martin, and he was pissed.
Furious, right?
He was pissed. It was like, I'm like, I don't know if that's the kind of guy I want to be pranking.
Uh-huh.
But, so I love a great prank. You must have some stories of
great ones that you were a part of or you witnessed?
Sure.
What stands out?
I know young in my career, we were we had this, like, Russ Grimm, you know, liked to go to this bar called The Fireside. And he never ate dinner. He always went to The Fireside and had beers before meetings. And so we had this call out. We're missing meetings. And, you know, it was this rallying cry. I don't know what it was. I don't even know what it was all about. It was just, I think ultimately Joe Gibbs told Russ, we got to do something to get guys together more or whatever it was. So I missed the meet. Everybody was missing meetings and, you know, and had this big kind of get together at this fireside. Anyhow, long story short, you know, we all got in trouble or whatever. It was, you know, really not a big deal. He had a run after practice or whatever, right? You know, oh, we got to run some after practice. Anyhow, long story short, we had this guy that was on our team at the time. It was a rookie that ended up getting cut. Well, we brought him back in like week 4 or 5 on the practice squad. So he comes in and he works all week. And I'm like, I roll over to Bosco and I say, hey, Bosco, we need to get him. Let's, because he was gone after he got cut after that week when we all got fined or all got in trouble, right? So I go, you know, Bosco was, you know, Jeff Bostic was our center. And so he, you know, he was upstairs and doing all that stuff. I said, go, you know, go print up a letter. He's, oh, great idea. So he runs up on Redskin letterhead, you know, from the office of Joe Gibbs or whatever, and writes this whole thing out. Hey, it's great to have you back. Great work of practice, great week of practice, da, 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 da. But you were on the team when you skipped the meeting. And so after your first week, because the practice squad guys were getting, at that time, the practice squad guys were getting $2,000 a week or something, or you know, $1,200, whatever it was. He goes, after your week of practice and the deduction of your, you know, of missing that meeting, you owe the Washington Redskins. It was like, you owe the Washington Redskins $968 or something. You know, it was all itemized. Oh, and they put it in an envelope and then just put it in his locker. We had one of the guys deliver it, you know, one of the dudes that run around there, you know, deliver it. Oh, we got something for you. And we all sat around while he opened it in his locker and just watched his face. And now this dude was 6'8". He's a big land giant. And he was fuming. And he storms down to the coach's offices. And we're like, oh, no, someone's going to get murdered. And anyhow, long story short, it was fun for a while. Like, he was totally beside
himself.
That's
good. Now,
but the best one,
is this the Kitty Litter one?
Oh. Oh, no, the best football. I thought you were talking about just...
All right, just football prank. But then I want you to tell the Kitty Litter story.
Well, we had a dude, the whole team was in on it. We had a dude that during a preseason game, it was during a regular season game where he wasn't dressing. He's one of the guys on our team, you know, one of the practice squad guys. And you're supposed to be watching, right? You're supposed to be watching the game and, like, watching the guy that you back up and stuff. And it's part of the process, you know. Say, hey, man, they were in this front, you know, whatever. Come off sideline. Well, we're all sitting there. It's one of those games where we're blowing somebody out, right? And this dude is over talking to a cute girl that's holding one of the parabolic mics. And he's over there for, like, we're watching him during the whole time. He's just over there talking, you know, spitting out his A game. And we're like, are you kidding me? Like, this kid. So, this is terrible. We ended up having one of the guys that I played with, his wife was an attorney. And she wrote up a harassment lawsuit.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
And so we had the police deliver
it. Oh, the police got in on it.
To deliver it to the facility, and we didn't tell him. He went through the whole day, like, he's calling his agent. He's like, when we let it go the whole time. And so we had on the practice field, and he literally is like, I gotta go. I'm gonna be sick. And he runs to the back into the locker room, and, like, we're all giggling like munchy little kids. And so then our assistant O-line coach, Barney Chavis, goes and gets him, says, hey, Mike Shanahan said if you don't come back out, you're going to get
cut. So he comes back out. We went through the whole day, the whole practice. He is beside himself. And then at the end, we break down practice, and Mike Shanahan said, hey, so-and-so. He goes, I hope you've learned your lesson. He goes, Sundays, game days are about focusing on the game. And basically, this was not real.
Real.
But we hope you learned your he was both relieved and so pissed off.
So
even Mike Shanahan was in on it.
So that was going to be my quick follow-up. And Rogue, hold on. I know you're getting mad at me. But to pull off what Marc-Andre Fleury pulled off.
Oh, you got to have inside.
You had to have inside help.
You have inside help from the Avs.
From the Avs.
Oh, without question.
How many people have to be involved to pull off a prank like this?
Well, I mean, you've got to have not only players on the team, but then you have to get, because I'm sure it's in some type of secure parking area. You've got to have your team security.
Yes.
You got to have everybody in on it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole organization's in on
That's next level deviousness. Yeah.
By the way.
I respect that.
By the way.
I respect that.
Bedzie needs a haircut. I'm sorry. Bedzie needs a haircut.
You know what he's starting to look like? He's starting to look like one of those, 1750s American statesmen that had the powder wigs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's starting to take on almost like a powdered wig look.
It's too disheveled.
Yes.
It's greasy.
He's
using Grecian formula in there.
Yeah. It's
Vitalis oil.
Yeah.
Well-oiled hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs a haircut.
Yes, he does.
Right now,
he does.
I'm just going to say.
No, you're right. You're right. He's looking almost, Benjamin Franklin-esque or something.
Mm-hmm.
Get it done.
77 years ago today.
Coming up next. Oh, man. Oh, man. Mel Kiper's out with his latest mock draft. If he's right, oh, my God.
Todd.
The heads that will explode across Broncos country if Mel Kiper is correct. Details next.